Matthew in chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we're honored tonight to be able to gather in your house that's been sanctified and set apart in this community for the saints of God to come and worship. And Lord, I pray as we are here as your saints, Lord, to expound upon your scriptures. All is vain unless your Spirit quickens that word and makes it alive unto us. Lord, we understand who we are and what we are. Lord, may we understand more of who you are and what you are. In truth, and Lord, to yield that it may govern our lives, that our lives may bring glory to your name. Help us now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now notice the Lord is beginning with the compliment. Ye are the salt of the earth. He says, you are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. Now, salt is very valuable. Salt was so valuable in that time that the Roman Empire even paid their soldiers with salt because it was more than money, more valuable than money. That's where we get the terminology, that man's worth his salt. It meant something that's valuable. So the Lord is saying, we are valuable. We read in Matthew 10, it says, you are more valiant than many sparrows. Amen. So we are valuable to the Lord. Not only did he say you're salt, but he says you're light. Light is a necessity. Without light, everything would die. I didn't do too good at school, but I think that's called osmosis or something like that, you know, where light and the plants take the energy from the light and translate it or whatever and make life. Well, that's without light, everything would die. And Jesus is the light of the world, amen. He is the eternal life, and we come to know him as Lord and Savior. He gives us his life, amen. So therefore now, we are the light of the world. And he says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. Not only are you valuable, amen, but we are necessities. Amen. We're necessary. And then he goes on to say, you are a city set on the hill. A city set on a hill. And a city set on a hill. Me and my wife preached in that Muslim country over there in Asia Minor, what the Bible calls Asia Minor. And as we preached and traveled through those old ancient cities, and you would be in a plane for about 15, 20 miles, and those ancient ruins of those cities would be sitting way up on a hill, and you could see them for miles and miles. And there was no, you couldn't misunderstand what that was. And I began to imagine, man, what it would be like back when this city was at its peak. pinnacle and all erected in its white marble, glistening and shining, covering that whole hill, amen. I mean, you could stand for 20 miles away and there would be no doubt what that was. That is a city, amen. No doubt about it. Brethren, we should be living our lives to the degree of following our Master as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ as we go out in this community, that people could look at our lives without a shadow of a doubt. That is a child of God. Amen. They wouldn't have to scratch their head and say, well, they go to church, but I really don't know if they're saved or not. Or, well, I don't wonder if they even go to church. Or, I don't know if they're a heathen or not, acting the way they act. I mean, we should be living our life, letting our light shine before men that they could see our good works and glorify our Father that's in heaven. I mean, we are a city set on a hill for a purpose to bring glory to God. He says in Peter, amen, hereunto were you called to bring... He brought us out of darkness into light to show forth the praises of Him. Amen. Listen, God doesn't just save us to keep us out of hell. That's a benefit. Amen. God doesn't just save us to take us to heaven. That's a benefit. God saves us to live innocent through us right here, right now tonight, to commune with us and fellowship with us, and that we might praise Him and give Him glory for being a sovereign God. Amen. That's the purpose of our salvation, that we might just glorify Him. Now, so we see here He gives the compliment. You are the salt of the earth. You are a light of the world. You are a city on a hill. But now look at the caution. The caution is this. He said, if the salt's lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Now, He didn't say you're good for nothing. He just said you're good for nothing. Now, you can go home and figure it on that, amen. If the salt's lost its savor, it's good for nothing. I mean, this word in the English is lost its savor, is three words, but in the Greek, and it's a verb, it's one word, and it means to become foolish or to play the fool. You know, here's another terminology we use. You know, so we look at things and say, well, that's tasteless, what they've done. We see somebody's actions, and we say, well, that's tasteless. Or we see somebody, you know, say, boy, that guy's got taste. That's taste. Where does it come from? It comes from this text. You see, if the salt has lost its savor, if it's lost its taste, amen, the dear brother prayed it in our prayer meeting tonight. You see, our lives, you are the salt of the earth. Our lives should be creating a thirst and a desire in those that we come in contact with that don't know God, that they would come to the fountains of living waters of the Lord Jesus Christ and drink of Him. And He said, if you drink of Me, I will be inside of you a well springing up to everlasting life, amen. But if the salt's lost its savor, its effectiveness, its usefulness, it's good for nothing. How many of us is in the house of God tonight? Good for nothing. We've lost our effectiveness. We've lost our usefulness to a holy God that saved us and redeemed us. Oh Lord, that we would heed the caution that He has given. I won't preach tonight on things believers can lose. We can lose some things, folks. Things believers can lose. Now let me get a foundation before we take off. I am not preaching you lose your salvation. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John 10, He said, I give unto you eternal life. It's eternal life. What did He give to us? Eternal life. That's what it is. It's eternal life. He didn't say, I give unto you temporary life. I'm going to save you till you lose it. When you lose it, well, you're going to earn it back again. Get it back again. If I could earn my salvation and keep myself saved, amen, then I don't have what He gave, because He gave eternal life. And if you ain't got what He gave, you ain't saved. I give unto them eternal life. And He would have said eternal life if He didn't mean eternal life. So therefore that's what He gave us, eternal life. I am eternal. And He said they shall never perish. If He didn't mean never, He would have never said never. But since He said never, He meant never. And He means you will never perish. Why? Because you got eternal life. And He says no man can pluck them out of My hand. So therefore, I'm not preaching you lose your salvation as a believer, as a saint of God, a born-again child of God, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, we are in His hands and nothing can pluck us out. That we're saved, that's settled, we are secure. And brother, I mean, we're sure of that. Amen. Just like you've been born physically, I'm looking at you, go unborn yourself. You can't do it. You had nothing to do with your physical birth and you had nothing to do with your spiritual birth. You were birthed into the family of God by the Holy Ghost of God, therefore given eternal life by God, so therefore we are children of God and we cannot unborn ourselves. Hallelujah. So that's settled, okay? So we're not preaching you lose your salvation, but there are some things we can lose as believers. The first thing we can lose our love for the Lord. We can lose our love for the Lord. He told the book over in Revelations 2, talking about the church of Ephesus, He told them, He gives them compliments. He says, I know you have tried those that said they were apostles and you found them to be liars. And He said, I know your work and your patience and your labor of love and you have not fainted. He says, man, you're diligent. You're committed. He said, but I got somewhat against you. You left your first love. You've left your first love. Folks, we can lose our first love. Can you remember your first love? I mean, your first love when you, boy, your heart was going to beat out of its chest, you know, and man, your palms got all sweaty and you got all googly-eyed in front of them, you know, and you're all warm and fuzzy inside, and man, you just didn't know how to act or what to say, and man, I mean, you just, a lot of times, just making a fool out of yourself, you know, I mean, you was in love, amen, that's your first love, and man, you just wanted to spend all the time you could with them, and man, you just wanted to talk to them, and you just wanted to be with them, and be in presence, and you wanted them in your presence, and man, I mean, that was like all you could talk about was your first love. And then when you were separated, you know, you drove everybody up the wall, man. You'd tell them what color their hair was. You'd tell them what color their eyes was. You'd tell them about their character and their attributes and how they acted and how they walked and how they talked. And you'd just drive people insane talking about your love. You long for your love. You look for your love. You lusted for your love. Amen. I mean, your first love, you was excited. Listen, brethren, can you remember when you first got born again by the Holy Ghost of God? Man, you went to school and you'd talk about the Lord. You'd go to work and talk about the Lord. And man, you'd drive everybody up the wall talking about the Lord. Amen. But somewhere along the way, you've lost your first love. You no longer talk to Him no more. You no longer talk about Him no more. You no longer long to be in His presence and Him to be in your presence no more. We have lost our first love. I can remember when, you know, I'd be separated from my wife and, you know, we was dating I just wanted to talk to her, you know. That's back when phones were for talking, you know, used to talk on them. You don't talk on a phone no more, you peck on it like a chicken, you know. Hey, the thing works, talk in it, amen, it still works. And you just wanted to talk, you wanted to communicate with the one that you love. When's the last time you communicated with your first love? You know what prayer is? Your personal prayer is you communicating with Him. You know what reading that Bible is? That's Him communicating to you. When's the last time you communicated or even had a desire to communicate with your first love? Oh, the only time some of us know anything about the Word of God is when we gather here on Sunday. And if all you know is what your preacher preaches, I'm going to tell you something, you're in bad shape. Now, I'm not saying he's a bad preacher, amen. He's a good one of the best there is, but I'm just saying, I mean, brother, I mean, you should, I mean, I didn't want somebody just to tell me about my wife, amen. I wanted to know her. I wanted to experience her. I wanted to know her firsthand, amen. You see, we got married when we was 18. We've been now married 30 years this year, 30-year anniversary. Now, when we got married at 18, we thought we knew what love was. But now we've been married 30 years, and I'm looking back, we didn't have a clue what love was. See, See, from 18 to 30 years now, our love has been continually developing and growing. And you know what? I pray we marry in another 30 years. When I get 60 years down the road in our marriage, I want to look back when we were married 30 years and say, you know, it's just getting started. But I'm going to tell you something, brethren. That's not going to grow if we do not continue to communicate and continue to relate with each other and desire each other. You know what we got to do? We got to grow our love. We got to grow our love. Grow. We gotta cultivate that love one for another. Because listen, brother, if you don't grow your love and you don't guard your love, something else is going to come along and catch your attention and catch your eye and draw you away from your first love. You know, we always have to counsel with people about to get divorced, and this is what they'll say. Preacher, I don't know what happened, but our love just grew apart. Our love just grew apart. And I used to scratch my head and say, Lord, how does that happen? How do you just, your love grow apart? It's because something else catches your interest. And you begin to nurture that relationship instead of the relationship you're in. And you keep going and gravitating more to that, whether it be your education, your occupation, or your recreation, or any other Asian, amen. I mean, something catches your desire, and you begin to gravitate to that, and give more time, and more devotion, and more of your energy, and more of yourself to that, than your first love, and you've left your first love. And before long, you get in divorce. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If a lot of us treated our spouse the way we're treating the Lord tonight, we'd be divorced. Praise God, salvation's eternal. We have left our first love. Other interests have caught our eye. Other things have drawn us away from our first love. Listen, me and my wife, sometimes we sit down and I say, I loved you first. She said, no, I loved you first. So that's a big debate. Who loved who first? Brother, let me tell you something. God loved us when we was unlovely and ungodly. I used to be a heathen. I could care less about God and the things of God and the Word of God and the people of God. But I tell you what, when I was such a heathen, rebellious, headed for hell, a holy God loved me in spite of me. He loved me first. Amen. It says over there also in 1 John and 4:19, it says, we love Him because He first loved us. I'll tell you something, brethren. He loved us way before we ever loved Him. And brother, when it dawns on you how much a holy sovereign God loves us, I tell you what, that should kindle our love and grow our love, and we should guard our love for Him. Man, I mean, you can remember when you was excited about your love, amen, for the Lord. Man, you had a joy burning in your heart, and man, you couldn't wait to get to the house of God. I mean, it was like Sunday was the highlight of the week. We get to go to the house of God and worship our God, amen. Man, you was excited, but no longer are you excited about going to church. It's a drudgery. I go, oh, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. Because we've left our first love. We've lost that enthusiasm. We have lost our enthusiasm for the Lord. There's this little fellow one time, here's this little town, had a barber shop, general store, post office, and a church. And they was all up in the barber shop, and barber told this little boy, said, son, I want you to run over to the general store and get me a nickel's worth of enthusiasm. He said, what? I want you to get me a nickel's worth of enthusiasm. Get a little... Boy, little boy wants to do good, you know. He runs over to the general store and he put it on the counter and he told the clerk, he said, I want a nickel's worth of enthusiasm. And the clerk said, who sent you over here? He said, the barber. Well, he knew something was up, you know. He said, well, let me look. He looked on the shelves, you know, he looked all around. He said, well, son, I'm sorry, we just ain't got no enthusiasm here. But I tell you what you do. Won't you run over there to the post office? Every once in a while they get some of that in at the post office. Little boy took his nickel. Boy, I mean, he's all excited. He goes over there and puts the nickel on the postmaster's counter. Said, I want a nickel's worth of enthusiasm. Postmaster said, what? I want a nickel's worth of enthusiasm. He, who sent you over here? He said, the barber sent me, and I went to the general store. They ain't got none. He said, you might have some over here. He says, well, let me look. And he looked around, you know, and he said, no, son, we ain't got none. Ain't had none in a long time. He's going to tell you what, the pastor's over at the church. They bound to have some over at church. Won't you run over at the church? Boy, little boy got his nickel amen. He run over to the church, you know, and the pastor's in his study, and he runs in there and he puts it on the pastor's desk and says, preacher, I need a nickel's worth of enthusiasm. He said, what? I need a nickel's worth of enthusiasm. He said, who's got you over here? And he told him the story, how the barber sent him, and he's been to the store, and he's been to the barber, and there just ain't no enthusiasm. And the preacher said, son, I'm sorry to say, ain't no enthusiasm here either. And the little boy took his nickel. Walked back to the church so dummy, back to the barber shop so discouraged, he put it back in the barber's hand, and the barber said, well, son, did you find me any enthusiasm? He said, it ain't a nickel's worth of enthusiasm in this whole town. Not even the church. Amen. And brother, that's how you could label most of our churches. We have lost our enthusiasm for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have lost our joy, amen, of being born again, saved by the grace of God, children of the Most High God. You're valuable, amen. Don't you forget it, amen, or God wouldn't have saved you. You're necessary. Wherefore, therefore, we should be useful. Useful. And have a joy, amen. The Bible says, it says in Isaiah 12:3, out of joy we shall draw the water out of the well of salvation. You remember in the book of Luke, in chapter 10, Jesus sent them 70 out, and men, he give them power. They're laying hands upon the sick, they're healing the sick, and they're casting out devils, and they came back. Woo! They said they came back rejoicing. Woo! Jesus, you should have seen us. We was casting out devils, we was healing the sick. Woo! Jesus, you should have seen what we were doing. Then we're rejoicing, amen. And Jesus is standing there, he said in verse 18, well, I saw Satan like lightning fall out of heaven. What's that got to do with it? They happy. Jesus said, the same pride that entered into the heart of Satan got him kicked out of heaven is now in you. Your joy is in what you're doing instead of who I am. He said, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you and you can lay your hands upon the sick and heal the sick. He said, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Do you know why some of us has lost our joy? Because our joy is based upon our performance. And we know how bad our performance is. I mean, we're going to start something new. We're going to do this and we're going to make it work in the energy of the flesh. And we try everything. And when it fails and goes kaput, we get mad and quit church and get discouraged. That bunch down there don't want to do nothing. And you lose your joy. Y'all know that's church, folks. That's the Baptist church. You see, our joy shouldn't be in what we're doing. Our joy should be in what He's done. My joy is not in my performance. My joy is in His provision. In who He is, amen. Brother, whether I'm up, whether I'm down, whether I'm fat and sassy or sick and dying, amen. We should have joy over the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm His, amen. I'm His. Joy. And enthusiasm. That we shouldn't let the circumstances govern how we worship our Lord and serve our Lord. Quit looking at the outward circumstances, amen. And letting that regulate to you whether you're successful or not. I am a success, amen. Because I'm in Him. And He is victory. You see, we lose our joy. We lose our joy. But see, remember when David was on that rooftop? Something else caught his eye. He began to look over there. Something else caught his interest. He began to nurture that relationship. And boy, it wasn't long. He was eyeball deep in sin. He left his first love. And David had wrote many psalms of joy and jubilation and praise. But he lost it all. But he comes back to Psalms 51. Wash me and I shall be clean. Purge me with hyssop, Lord. I have sinned. I have sinned. He ain't trying to blame it on somebody else. It's, I have sinned. And he gets on down there and said, restore unto me again the joy of thy salvation. He didn't say restore unto me again my salvation. He didn't lose his salvation. What he lost was the joy. How many of you here tonight has lost your joy? Because something else has caught your eye, and when something else catches your eye and you begin to nurture that and gravitate to that, you've left your first love and you've sinned because Jesus said, repent. I got somewhat against you. You left your first love. He said, now repent. Come back. Praise God for repentance, folks. Praise God for a way back. Remember old Jonah in the belly of the whale in the bottom of the ocean? He cried out to God with a broken heart. Listen, our God's not somewhere so far removed that His ear is deaf that He cannot hear and His arm's not short that He cannot save. Amen. He's waiting for the cry and the call of His children. Amen. Lord, I want to come back. He's waiting. And we can come back to our first love. Amen. We have lost sight of. Do you know we got people in the church that's judgmental? Critical of everybody else. I mean, if anybody's doing anything, they're going to throw cold water on that. They ain't doing it right. No, they just ain't doing it up to your expectation. Let me tell you, you're not God. Amen. And this ain't your church, it's God's church. If it's your church, just go and leave, amen. This is God's church. And if they're doing anything that ain't pleasing to God, God will take care of them. He's big enough to take care of Himself. But we got those in the church as judgmental, critical, discouraging. Why? It's because they lost their joy. They've lost their joy. There's this fellow one time, boy, he was set about right over here. Man, right, boy, he was... Praise God. Boy, the preacher's preaching. Woo, hallelujah, preacher. Boy, the preacher's preaching. Tell him, preacher. Boy, the preacher's preaching. Woo, preacher. Boy, he's getting excited. Amen. Had joy. Finally, a little old lady behind him tapped on his son, you're going to have to hush up. He said, I'm sorry. I got joy. She said, you didn't get it here. Hush. Folks, there's a Baptist church right here in this parish I've been to. Know some that went to that church. And there were some in there. And they were Baptists and they raised their hand. And they shouted a little bit, got a little bit excited. And the deacons met them outside after the service. And listen, we don't do that here. And we don't want you doing that here. So if you're going to do that, just don't come back. Man, most of us wouldn't holler sue if the hogs was eating us. We've lost our joy, our enthusiasm, amen. We should come to the house of God expecting to meet with God, but come with a joy, amen. Every time when I would go back in the presence of my love, amen, I came with an expectation, amen. I came with a joy, a vigor, an excitement, and we've lost it. But let me move on. I got other things. Not only lose our joy, but we can lose our usefulness. Our usefulness. You see, over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, remember when Paul was saying, you know, I become all things to all men that I might win some. He said, I become a Jew to the Jews. I come under the law, even though I'm free from the law. I come under the law to win them that's under the law. I become weak to those that are weak that I might win them. I become all things to all men that I might win some. And I do this for the gospel's sake. But then he gets on down there at the end of the chapter and he says, I keep my body in subjection. Lest I myself become a castaway. That don't mean he's going to be cast into hell. No, he's just saying, he said, I'm always mindful of my actions. I'm always mindful of this flesh, how it can get out of control. Of an eye in my attitude or my actions, and I know that if I let it get out of control, somebody's going to see me, and then if I ever go to them to preach the gospel, I will be of no effect, useless. And he said, my biggest concern is being put on a shelf by a holy God and rendered useless. How many of us are here tonight useless? You come to church, but you go out there and live in direct opposition to the Word of God. And then sometimes you try to talk to them about the Lord. They ain't listening to you. They're not listening. They might shake their head and no, but I tell you what, they could care less what you got to say. You're a castaway. They're just throwing you off. You mean nothing. Let me tell you something, that's one of my biggest fears to God. To become useless to the one that loved me when I was unloved and ungodly, the one I deserved to be in hell eyeball deep tonight. But He saved me, washed me with His blood, forgave me my sins, clothed me in His righteousness, reconciled me to Himself, and for me now to just go live a life of the flesh, to render myself ineffective for the gospel's sake. God help us, folks. Not only can we lose, our usefulness, we can lose it, folks. I mean, I just want to be an encouragement to somebody. I want to know at the end of the road, my life was, I helped somebody, amen. Encourage somebody toward the Lord. Encourage somebody that was downtrodden and weary and tired and about to give up to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. I want to pray that somebody that's down and out, I can encourage them to look up, look into Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. And faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Look to Him. Oh, but if I go out there and live like a heathen, amen, and get up here and try to preach, I'll tell you what, I'm useless. Useless. We can lose our effectiveness. But there's a couple other things. Let's go on. We can lose our life. You can lose your life. The Bible says over here in 1 John, let me read it. He says in 1 John and in chapter 5, 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say thou shalt pray for it. There's a sin unto death. Brother Scott, what's a sin unto death? It's whatever it is in your life, your habitual, continual rebellion to the authority of God, and the Spirit of God continues to convict you and convict you, and you bow your neck and you harden your heart. That's your pet sin. You're not going to repent, and you're going to live your life the way you want to live it. And there'll come a day when God will draw the line and say, I'm done with you. Hey, that's over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. He said, He turns the flesh over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, but the soul is saved. Why? Because salvation's eternal. But you have rendered yourself so useless to a holy God, and you're ashamed to Him, you're a reproach to Him, you're a stumbling block to Him, and finally, because of your disobedience and the hardness of your heart, God just quits dealing with you and convicting you to repent, and He just backs off and lets the devil kill you. He said, but your spirit is saved. Did you know our graveyards are filled with premature deaths? Premature deaths out there in that graveyard. People, the Spirit of God convicted and convicted and convicted, and they failed. You see this also again over there in the Lord's Supper in Corinthians chapter 11. He says, anybody that eats this bread and drinks this cup unworthily is eating and drinking their own damnation. Not discerning the Lord's death.
And for this cause, what cause? Because we're taking of it unworthily with sin in our life. For this cause, he says, many of you are sick and weak and sleep. Now, I don't mean you're going home taking a nap. No, we just do that in church. That means death. Because we're taking the Lord's Supper in vain, not repenting of our sins, and understanding the holiness of God, and holding and esteeming the holy things of God, amen, that we no longer are useful to Him, that brother, there will come a time He says, all right, I'm done with you. There's this little fella, little Johnny, boy, he loved to fight. And he says, Mama, can I go outside and play? There's a bunch of kids off out there. Trucks and cars and swing sets and balls. He said, no, Johnny, you'll be out there in a fight in 5 minutes. And no, Mama, I'm not going to fight. I'm through fighting. I'm not going to fight no more. All right, Johnny, you go out. I'm watching you. I got my own. If you get in a fight, I'm going to whoop you. Well, Johnny goes out there. First thing, he walks up to the little boy. I want the ball. He says, it's my ball. Little Johnny right back busted his nose. Johnny, come here. Johnny walks in there. Mama takes out a belt. Amen. She whoops him. That's back when people used to whoop youngers. Amen. She'll give him a good whooping. And he's squalling. He said, all right, Johnny, I told you about that fight, and I'm not going to put up with it. Did you know the Bible says in Hebrews, He chastens His children whom He loves? And if we can go out there, listen, folks, I'm going to say something. If you can go out there and habitually, continually live in rebellion to the authority of the Word of God, and there's no Holy Ghost conviction and no chastening of God, He said, you're illegitimate. You're not sons at all. The King James calls them bastards, and that's not a cuss word. How many of us is here like that tonight? We're living in the world just like we want to live. There's no chastening, no convicting. Johnny says, Mama, can I go back and play? Okay, son, go play. I'm watching. Johnny goes back out there. He goes to a little girl on the swing. I want on the swing. She said, no, I'm swinging. He grabs her by the hair and throws her in the dirt. Amen. Johnny, come here. Johnny goes back. He knows he's going to get a whooping. But you see, after chastening, you know what we do? We get callous to it. And we get accustomed to it. And boy, we know how to harden our heart when we go to church. Amen. And boy, Johnny goes back in there and Mama wears him out. This time he don't even cry. He just sniffles a little bit. Mama, can I go play? No, Johnny, I'm sick and tired of you fighting, son. I'll catch you fighting again. I'm going to tell you something. You're done. No, I'm not fighting no more, Mama. I quit. I'm telling you, I quit. All right, I'm watching you. He goes out there, and little boy playing in the sand pile with a truck. He said, I want that truck. Little boy said, I'm not going to give it to you. He just right back kicks him in the face. Johnny Ray, come here. You know you're in trouble when your mama calls your whole name. Boy, he comes back in there. She said, boy, I'm tired of talking to you. He goes back in there, and boy, he's getting ready. Or he's getting ready for the whooping already. He's psyching himself up. Boy, I can take it. And he gets in there and says, all right, Mom, I'm ready for my whooping. She says, no, son. You're done. You go in there and go to bed. But Mama, it's still daylight. It's still playtime. No, not for you. It's over. And folks, in that illustration is the sin unto death. When we habitually, continually rebel against the convicting Spirit of God in our lives, and we're going to do what we're going to do is like we're going to show God. I tell you what, He'll show you. And He'll just turn you over to the devil and say, all right, devil, do what you want. But you can't have his soul. He's mine. See, folks, you can lose your life. And here's the last thing, and we'll quit. We can lose our joy. We can lose our usefulness. We can lose our life. But here's the last thing. We can lose our reward. Did you know there are 5 rewards or crowns every believer can earn? Well, not every believer. Only the pastor's kid will get all 5. One's a pastor's crown. Everybody don't get that. But listen, folks, and it says again in Corinthians that at the judgment seat of Christ, our works will be tried by fire. And whatever we have built upon of gold and precious stones and silver, I mean, the fire just purifies. In other words, our motives for coming to church, our motives for serving the Lord, our motives for everything that we've done is going to be tried. And we've done it with a heart of love. Our master, amen, because he's worth our obedience. Our brother, what? You're going to be getting a...
But everything you didn't do with the right motive, going to burn up as wood, hay, and stubble. Everything you've just done for show, everything you've done for self-exaltation and self-glorification in the church to be recognized to be somebody, all that's going to burn up and you're going to get nothing. He said, you're saved yet as by fire. Now get this, I'm finna hush. Watch me. We get those crowns. They're not for us to brag and boast. Look at here, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, what I got and you ain't got none. No, the Bible says nothing enters into heaven that sinneth or defileth or make abomination or lie. We don't get the crowns to puff ourselves up. Pride goeth before destruction and the Holy Spirit before fall. Ain't no pride in heaven and arrogance. No, no. When He gives us those crowns, you know what it's revealing? It's revealing His glory. It's revealing that my Master is so worthy of me living a life of obedience to His Word. And this is how worthy my Master was to me. And your crown is revealing to others how worthy your God is. And many of us is going to be in heaven naked with nothing. With nothing to reveal how wonderful and how worthy your God is. Oh, you're saved. But how ashamed will you be? Folks, I'm in churches all over this country every week. Do you know, and a lot of times we have Sunday dinner on the grounds. And I hear this every Sunday, just about when they got dinner on the ground. Somebody shows up for church and didn't bring nothing to eat. Well, I didn't know we was having dinner on the ground. I'm not staying. I'm so ashamed. I'm not staying. I didn't bring nothing. I'm not staying. I'm going home. Well, if you had come to church, you had it in a bulletin for a month. You'd know that's having dinner on the ground. Told on herself what they done. But you listen, how many of them actually go home because they're ashamed because they didn't bring nothing to dinner on the ground? How ashamed you going to be when you get to heaven? And you got nothing to show the worthiness of your Lord. He wasn't worthy to me. I just got saved so I wouldn't go to hell. That's all I want. I just didn't want to go to hell. Let me tell you something. You know what a disciple, we've been preaching about a disciple. A disciple is one whose life is demonstrating the teachings of his Master. Why? He serves Him out of love. Amen. Why did our Master do what He did and go to Calvary? He loved the Father. And that love motivated Him to obedience. But we can lose it. We can lose it. These are the things believers can lose. You say, well, Brother Scotty, I'm lost. So you ain't talking to me. That's right. But also in Matthew 16, he does say this. What should it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Lost people, you got everything to lose. Now the believer can go out there and do what they're going to do and they can die an early death and they can have no rewards, but they still saved. Whether we like it or not, they're still saved. But lost people, you got nothing. You can work and you can build kingdoms and you can build empires and lose your own. So what that my guy said, I'm tearing down my barns, I'm big and build a barn, bigger barns and better barns. He said, you fool, this night your soul's required of thee. And what does it say to become faithless? Foolish. How many of us is foolish tonight? We've lost our Savior. But how many of us tonight are just simply lost? And you're losing it all. You're losing your own soul. Your own soul. Let's pray, Father, tonight.